Welcome to Playful Joy, a parenting podcast without the guilt. I'm Charlene Nicole, and today's Quick Thoughts episode is actually from August. I recorded it kind of in the midst of moving through grief about my uncle who passed, and I didn't release it for a few reasons. Partially, I attended a friend's mother's celebration of life, and I wanted to ask him permission before I shared about her death. And then he just so graciously and generously agreed to come on the podcast. So that's episode 17 if you listened. And that's why I didn't release it right away, because I knew he was coming on, and that interview is just, in my opinion, I guess, so much more valuable than just my moving through my own grief, just talking back and forth with him and the way he explains it. Well, you can listen to the episode. But the other day, a listener commented that they noticed that it was therapeutic, like listening to us, and that it sounded like it was therapeutic for Mitch and I discussing our grief. And I can't speak for Mitch, but I know that for me, the more I talk about things that were difficult, the more I come to terms with them, and just the easier it is to talk about, which we do have to do in moving through grief with children. So if you liked episode 17, I hope that you like this Quick Thoughts episode as well. And if you haven't listened to episode 17, then do that after you listen to this. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you love it. If you haven't already noticed, this podcast is basically just a way for me to share things I've learned as a parent, things that have been hard for me, things that have gone easily. And I try to bring on guests that, yeah, might have some information that helps you. And on that note, today I want to talk about something that's been hard for me, and that is grief. And moving through grief, and maybe even like a traumatic experience that you've had once you have kids. It's like everything. Kids just make it more complicated and different. And I honestly think it like everything else, it takes longer. So you grocery shop before kids, you just go in, you get what you need, you get out. There's never a reason you have to spend an extra hour in there. There's never a reason that you don't get what you need or that you forget something. It happens far less often, I think, before you have kids than it does after. They make everything more fun, and they also make it take longer. Think about getting out of the house. That's a good one. You used to just put your shoes on and go, but now, you know. So my uncle passed away, and it's been interesting because my children didn't know him very well. Like, they don't remember him. And even though they've met him and he was around, it just, in the past few years, we haven't seen him as much. So kids forget quickly, right? And so even just that, it was hard for me that they don't remember him or don't have, they don't really need to move through any grief. So that's an interesting situation. Whereas if someone passes away that they knew as well, then they're sad too, or they're trying to work through it. So you kind of go through it together. So in this instance, I'm moving through it and kind of they don't really need to as much. So I like what Catherine Roscoe Barr said in episode 8. She said, moving through things once you have kids is like draining a bathtub. Like, you have to, it's like you're opening this, this plug, and but you can only let a little bit out at a time, and you have to just keep letting out a little bit and then stop it off, and then let out a little bit and stop it off. And, so that's kind of, it's kind of a good way to go, I think, or it's worked for me. Like, when the feelings come, just let them come and like work through it in whatever way you can. I mean, like, if you're sitting watching your kid, I don't know, play tennis or something, you're not going to be able to just fall apart, right? But if watching them makes you think about when your dad or whoever you're grieving taught you to play tennis, you don't need to like shrug it off completely. I think you can let the feelings come and go. Like, just think about them a minute, and maybe you do shed some tears at tennis camp, who cares? Maybe you don't, but I know that it's tough to completely fall apart when you're responsible for these tiny humans that need things like food and water and to get to their summer camp. You know, I mean, you gotta, for a certain number of days or a certain amount of time, you can be completely broken. And then, you know, they need consistency and they need, we all need a bit of structure again. So I get that it's hard when these little beings need you to be stable and secure. But I think it's a balance. Like, it's okay to let them see you fall apart as long as you let them witness you putting yourself back together. So I think, you know, when I found out about my uncle, I was crying, I was upset. And we'd known he was in the hospital, and then we found out he'd passed before we got there. And I was crying, and I think it's okay. And I just said, like, I'm really sad. I'm going to really miss him. And I just kind of talked through it, and I was crying. And I know, I think, anyways, sometimes it makes us feel guilty when we make our children uncomfortable in that way. And they were. It's like an insecure thing to see your parent upset, because we're their world, we're their stability, we're their security, we're their everything. But I don't think we need to shield our children from grief or our feelings. I don't think we need to shield our children from this. I think we need to carry them through it with us. So, like, even when we're falling apart, they can be there with us. We can explain what we're feeling. We can go through it with them. And if it's someone that they're grieving too, we can talk about what we're doing to make ourselves feel better. And, you know, I pulled over and I was crying, and I just talked to them and told them I was sad and that we were going to go. You know, it changed our day a little bit once I found out that he'd already passed. So then I talked about that, like what was going to happen next. And maybe we just work in smaller chunks of the day then. So I know this is what we had planned, but now this is going to happen. And then I'm not sure what's going to happen after that. I'm not sure what time I'm going to pick you up from your auntie's. I will let you know. And then a definite thing. So I said, I will definitely be there before it's bedtime. So, like, I might miss dinner, but I'll definitely be there before you go to bed. And then Caden said, are we having a sleepover? And I said, no, I'll pick you up and we'll sleep at home tonight. So a bit of instability, a bit of unknown is life, but children do thrive on knowing, you know, so much of their life is told to them and dictated, and they don't have a lot of choice in the matter. And in this case, they didn't have a choice. I wanted to be at the hospital, so they needed to be somewhere else. And I could have taken them with me, I suppose. I just was choosing not to in that moment. And so there's a little bit of unknown, and then I gave them a bit of known as well. And I think that's good. And I also believe that trying to hide it from them, I mean, I think we do it in a loving way, you know, like, let's wait till we know for sure. Let's wait until we know what's going on before we tell the kids or things like that. But if you're really upset, if you get word that someone you know and love is in the hospital and you are talking about it quietly with your partner or someone else on the phone or your parents or something like that, and you don't tell the kids what's going on, I think it can cause anxiety in certain children. Children are very intuitive. They really can tell how we're feeling based on just a few cues. So our body language, the way we talk, we don't usually go into a different room to talk on the phone and then all of a sudden you do. They read that. They know that. It's their survival to really be attuned to their parents. Just evolutionarily, that's to watch what they do and then mimic it and to see what's going on. Like, parents are their cue to the environment. So if parents are showing signs that there's danger, then children have to be attuned to that. So if you're showing signs of something being different or awry, they're really going to feel that. So I think it's important to let them in, and And I think it's really a lot like what Samantha Strange was talking about in episode 13 about sexual health. We need to give them the information in a developmentally appropriate way and then answer the question that they ask and give them some information and just, you know, they don't need to know every gory detail if it's a terrible situation or something like that. But they can know that we don't have to hide the fact that my uncle's in the hospital. I don't think we need to not tell them that. And they're going to ask questions that are going to be really upsetting to you. Like I said, oh, my uncle's in the hospital and that makes me really sad and I'm worried about him and I'm hoping to get there to see him. And Audrey right away said, well, is he going to die? And like, that's, I'm like sad then, right? Like that's ugh, right in the heart. It got me. And then I just had to like, okay, pause and think, and how could I answer this? And I just said, I don't know. That maybe. And she said, maybe yes, maybe no. And I said, yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. And then she had a bunch of questions, but, some kids are going to ask every question. And when my grandpa passed away, Audrey is very black and white. So she had all the questions, but they weren't this note that they're not trying to be hurtful. So she would say like, oh, well, Gigi's not coming back because he's dead. Like, that's just not, it's not socially acceptable to say that, right? And so I just had to explicitly teach her like, yes, he's dead. And people who love someone who dies like it when you say they passed away, because it just doesn't hurt as much, especially in the beginning. And when he's been gone for a while, then people start using the word die or dead. But right at the beginning, we like to say things like passed away, because I don't know why, but we just do. So maybe if you're talking to, you know, and then I listed some people that were a lot closer to him, and I just said, maybe when you're talking to these people, then you want to just say Gigi passed away. We don't get to talk to him anymore because he passed away. And so then she did, and she uses that word. And yeah, so just, I think, don't hide things from your kids, even if you think it's helping. I think preparing them for what might happen is helpful. So if so-and-so's in the hospital, and it's valid to say that you don't know what's going to happen, and it's valid to say, oh, I just didn't want them to know yet. But if you're upset, they feel that. They know that, even if you're not saying it. So when your words don't match what they feel, it causes anxiety. When they say, what's the matter? And you say, oh, nothing, I'm fine. Who's daddy talking to? Oh, no one. They know. They already know. So you might as well just tell them what's going on in a way that's developmentally appropriate. And if your child is two, you can just say, oh, mommy's a little bit sad. Someone's got a really big owie, or someone's really hurt, and it makes me sad to think that the people I love are hurting. That's enough. And at 3 and 4, we can say, I'm really worried. We can use more complex emotions. I'm upset. I regret that I didn't get to see them one more time. That's fine. People like to say goodbye when they know someone's going to pass away, and I didn't get to say goodbye, and that makes me really sad. It's all stuff they're going to have to deal with. So just like sexual health, the younger we start talking about it, the more times they have to move through it, the easier it's going to be for them when they're older to communicate those feelings to other people around them, instead of just being this ball of pent-up emotion and just letting it out as anger and then apologizing after to the people around them. The more we can model the type of interactions we want them to have, the better off they'll be. But I just want to acknowledge that if you're going through grief or you're moving through some sort of trauma, that it is harder once you're a parent to go through these things on your own. I mean, I am so lucky that my family takes my children, and that I have wonderful babysitters whom I trust and love, and that can watch my children for me when I need to do other things. And then I have time to to work through it. For specific things that have helped me, I just now, I have a really sore shoulder, so I just went to do some yoga, and I didn't even make it through the 20-minute video because it was like talking about releasing all your thoughts. So I was like, okay, release yourself from all these like what ifs, I should have, all these things I've been telling myself, like I wish I'd done before my uncle passed. I was trying to like, okay, I'm letting them go. And then I just started bawling. And then I thought like, what if my kids had been here, what would I have done differently? I'm so lucky that I got some time to do that. So if you have someone that can watch your kids for even an hour, like do what makes you feel good. Yoga makes me feel good. So that's what I did. And then when I only made it halfway through, I started bawling. I just let it come. Like just let it come and let it out. Cause if you just have a big cry and then maybe the next time it'll be a little less. And then as I was sitting there, I started in my head, just like trying to say what I would say if he was here. So like talking to the person as if they're there, I found helps. And then I ended up, didn't plan to do this, but it ended up that I like wrote a sort of eulogy for my uncle, and I just like voice recorded it. And maybe I'll speak it at his funeral, and maybe I won't, but at least it's out there. And whatever your beliefs are, whether you think that the person that you lost can hear it or not, or the person that hurt you can, you know, feels it or not, at least you're getting it out. And at least it's kind of like a release. I really felt good after. So if you're going through some grief or some trauma right now, maybe speaking it out into the world or whatever, into the universe, whatever you believe, maybe that would help. And if you can do it when your kids aren't around, maybe that's more helpful. And if you do it with them there, that's fine too. As long as maybe if your release needs to be screaming at someone, then maybe that's not a good idea. But if you need to move through some anger, you might want to do that without children around, because that would probably be pretty upsetting. But if what you need to work through is just words that you wish you had said, I mean, it's kind of a gift to them to show them that I wish I had said this to this person when they were alive, and now I can't. And we should just tell the people we love them that we love them while they're here. Because no one knows how long they have. And we should just more love in the world. If that's all you ever gave to your kids, that would be enough. And if you're going through a hard time right now, I just want to say I'm here with you and acknowledge the fact that it's tough and it gets easier. And every day it gets a little less painful. And the more you give yourself the time and the permission to not be okay, the faster you'll get to actually being okay. Thanks so much for listening. I'd like to dedicate this episode to my friend Mitch, who's also grieving right now, and just let you all know that we're going through it too, and you're not alone. Thank you so much for listening. I sincerely appreciate each and every one of you taking the time out to listen to this podcast. Please reach out on Instagram at Playful Joy Podcast, on Facebook at Playful Joy Podcast, or email me, Charlene, at playfuljoyparenting.com with any questions, or just if you're moving through something right now and you need some support, I'm here. I'd love to hear from you about any questions you may have for myself or Mitch once you listen to episode 17. And if you have the time, please like, rate, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks so much for being here.